Grace you in peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you had one of those times, I shouldn't even ask this because I think we all have, well, one of those times where afterwards you say something like, I can't believe I actually had to say that to somebody? If you are a parent, you know that this happens all the time. And you end up saying stuff you never thought would come out of your mouth, like don't put spaghetti on the wall or something like that, or don't paint the bottom of your shoes or whatever it is. And even if you're not a parent, there's a lot of modern day equivalents that, you know, this happens at work and stuff like that. Probably no place more than tech support. You know, if you've called in with a computer that won't work or something like that, you know that the first question they'll ask you is, look at the cables. Are they all plugged in, right? And they ask that, you know, it sounds like kind of a silly question, but they ask that because it happens, right? People call in and that's the issue. I was reading a story this week about somebody who worked at tech support and he worked in a school. And so they called in and said, you know, my computer won't turn on. And he said, all right, we'll check all the cables, right? Which the teacher did. And then said to him, it's just not working. It's not coming on. All the cables are plugged in. And he said, all right, I'll come down to your classroom. So comes down to the classroom, looks behind the computer, checks all the cables. They're all plugged in there, follows them down. And sure enough, they're all plugged into this power strip, which is not plugged into the wall. I can't believe I even had to say that, right? You've had that experience before also. In our Leviticus reading today, God is telling us what to do and what not to do. And there's all kind of stuff packed into that reading. The big ones are there, right? The stuff that you and I know from the Ten Commandments, that stuff's in the Leviticus reading. Don't lie, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't do injustice in court. All the big stuff is there, but then he gets to this other verse. And every time we do this reading in the lectionary, this verse always jumps out to me. It's a verse right in the middle that says, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. And every time we read that, that jumps out to me because I look at that verse and go, who in the world would do something like that? I can't believe God even had to say it. And you know why he does, right? You know the answer. Because it happens. Because stuff like that happens. Because it's not just the big things that God forbids, it's the little stuff too. The stuff that is, that it's downright embarrassing that God has to say stuff like this to us. Can you believe you're part of a world where people would do something like that? Can you believe you're part of a human race where people would do things like that? Where people do things like that to one another. Human sin isn't just devastating. It's downright embarrassing sometimes. I mean, how embarrassing would it be for you if people found out that you took a sick satisfaction out of putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person? Now, that's probably not your thing, hopefully. But we've all got stuff like that. I mean, you dig deep enough into the human heart, yours and mine, and we've all got stuff like that. Every single one of us. How embarrassing would it be if people found out that you took a sick satisfaction out of making your siblings cry? How embarrassing would it be if people found out that there were times when you kind of enjoyed being cruel to your spouse and saying hurtful things? How embarrassing would it be if people knew that deep down you kind of like doing things that everybody knows are wrong? You know, deep down are the key words here because that's the worst of it. That's the real dark part of human life. The real problem that we have is that our enjoyment of things that everybody knows is wrong, I mean, it's not some superficial problem. It's not a fluke. It's not something that just happens from time to time. No, the dark secret, the real problem, the horrifying reality is that those things come from who we are. That those things are deeper down than any of us want to admit. And that means that all that stuff, all the times that we take pleasure in things that we all know are wrong, all the secrets that we hide from everybody else, all the times that your wrongdoing makes you feel powerful over other people, Those are part of who you are. Those are part of our identities as human beings. And that puts us at just about rock bottom for human sin. I mean, who you are, your very nature, your very identity, it includes this sickness. It includes this twistedness that we have about us sometimes that we don't like to admit, we don't like to tell anybody about. But that's why God has to say stuff like what he says in Leviticus 19. That's why he has to say this. Not just to people long ago, not just to other people, not to people far away, but to us, to you and I, to every single person in this room. We're the ones that he's talking to. We're the ones that he's telling what to do and what not to do. And there's kind of another parent experience, really, trying to get your kids to do what they should and stay away from the stuff that they shouldn't. It's an ongoing problem. And of course, on a human level, there's all kinds of different theories about how this should work. You know, redirection, timeouts, positive reinforcements, and things like that. But you know, looking back on my own childhood after all these years, the one thing that sticks in my head that my parents did from time to time, the one thing that sticks with me more than anything else was actually very, very simple. They looked me right in the eyes, and they'd say, "We don't do that." And that was it. We don't do that. I've been reflecting this week on why that stuck out so much to me. And I think it's because first it reminded me that I'm part of the we. I'm part of a group. And second, it reminded me that this group brought with it an identity. This group changed something about who I was. And third, that identity changed what I did. Who I was influenced what I did. Those three things are very much present in the book of Leviticus, in our Old Testament reading. See, God's speaking to his people, and this is at Mount Sinai. It's after he's given the Ten Commandments. God is still speaking to his people all the way in Leviticus 19, and he's telling them what it means to be his people. He's telling them, we don't do that when we're talking about human sin. And he's telling you, too, because you, too, and I also, you and me, we're also part of the group. We're also God's people. And that brings with it an identity, and that identity changes who we are and what we do. So first of all, we are part of this group. You know why? Paul says in Romans 6, he says, everybody who's baptized into Christ Jesus is baptized into his death. We are therefore raised with life because we are there. Hang on, I got to read it, I guess. We were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life. See, when you become part of the group, Christ's death is your death. And that means the resurrection of Jesus is your resurrection as well. Something changes there. Something changes when you come to faith. In the waters of baptism, your old identity, your old self, the identity that has all the twisted desires, all the sick satisfactions, all the embarrassing brokenness that we don't want anybody else to see, it is gone. It dies with Christ on the cross. It is buried with Jesus in the tomb, and it is drowned in the waters of holy baptism, and a new identity emerges. A new self rises with Jesus on Easter morning. A new self rises out of the waters of your baptism. A new identity that makes you part of the group that gathers on Sunday all across the world. From Bethalto to Belfast to Beijing, the one holy Christian and apostolic church, the body of Christ, the people of God, you are part of the group. And that group means a new identity. You notice a phrase that keeps coming up in our reading this morning all over the place. I am the Lord. Again and again and again he said that. By the way, the word the Lord, when you see it in all capitals in the Old Testament, that's the name of God from the burning bush. That's Yahweh, right? So, 5 times in 9 verses that phrase comes up. I am the Lord. It's everywhere. And why? Because these rules and these statutes that he comes up with in Leviticus, that he tells his people, they're not just arbitrary ideas that God makes up. They're an expression of who God is. And as his people, we represent him. We are part of his children. Those rules and statutes become who we are. The group of which you and I are a part, the people of God, it changes our identity. It brings with us a new identity. In other words, whose you are changes who you are. Whose you are changes who you are. See, it's not just that you are baptized. It's your hopes, it's your desires, and it's your identity. You become a new person when God brings you to faith. You are transformed. And the old, embarrassing identity is taken away from you. You are different because you are His. So God's message to us is very simple this morning, really. The message is, be who you are. Do you notice the first five verses of our reading? God tells the people they're supposed to follow His statutes, the stuff that He says. He says, don't be like the Egyptians who I brought you from. Don't be like the Canaanites who I'm bringing you to. Don't be like the Egyptians. Don't be who you were. That's a tough one, right? Because our past, you know, it keeps pulling at us, tugging at us. Our sinful nature, our embarrassing identity, who we were, it's always there. It's always tugging, always trying to drag us back to old habits. And they do die hard. It's easy to go back. But we don't do that because we are the people of God. And God has made us different. God has changed who we are. Don't be who you were. Be who you are. And then there's the Canaanites. The people who God knows is going to be around His people when they come into the land. That's a tough one too. People around us often try to drag us back as well. We've all had friends that want to lead us astray or try to lead us astray, usually not consciously. We've had coworkers who model bad behavior. We've had bosses who don't set a good example, but we don't do that. We are the people of God. Don't be who they are. Be who you are. Be who God has made you. Identity determines behavior. You know, Luther, when he was talking about baptism, he says that he talks about that identity being drowned and dying and then the new person being raised up. And he says, daily, that's got to happen. Daily. Daily, the old identity is drowned, and daily, the new identity rises back up. We're changed. And being a Christian means something. Being a Christian means something about how you live. It means that we are the kind of people who will cross the road and help the wounded man, just like in our gospel reading, even if he's our mortal enemy. It means that we are the kind of people who look around and who help the least and the lost and the last that God puts in our lives. And it means that we're the kind of people who carry with us and who share the peace that passes all understanding in Christ. May it guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.